Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, my friends. It's America's Most Haunted in a very, very special afternoon episode. And we are extremely excited to be speaking with Ghost Hunters Amy Bruni, my co-host and co-author of the book, America's Most Haunted. Teresa Argy will be joining us shortly. She has maternal duties to attend to, this being the afternoon, and that is all certainly very understandable and oddly appropriate that we are speaking with Amy. We'll be hearing from Amy very shortly as well. I know she's on a real tight schedule and has done a series of radio interviews today, but we will be hearing from her any moment. In the meantime, as Sci-Fi's epically successful Ghost Hunters series returns tomorrow night, September 5th at 9, 8 Central for Season 8 mid-season premiere. I never understand why they split these things up, but I'm sure there's some sort of very good reason for it. Rather than just having them be shorter seasons, they split them up. But anyway, officially, tomorrow will begin Season 8 mid-season premiere. And as most of you already know, there are seismic changes afoot with the franchise. Namely, co-founder Grant Wilson has left the show. Once the ingenue, Amy Bruni now finds herself a veteran mainstay and the only woman on the TAPS team. Amy is a great example of what happens when a hobby turns into a passion, which in turn becomes a way of life. Like many paranormal investigators, Amy grew up in a haunted house, but unlike most in that situation, her family embraced it. Bruni's father was an amateur paranormal investigator, and routinely he and Amy investigated haunted sites together. From a young age, she read and absorbed everything paranormal related she could, and as she grew to adulthood, that did not change. Amy began investigating with a paranormal team in Sacramento, California, and as soon as she stepped foot into the field professionally, her pursuits took off. Her lifetime of supernatural knowledge drew the attention of Jason Haas and Grant Wilson of the Atlantic Paranormal Society, a.k.a. TAPS. As a TAPS team member, Amy's quest to spread knowledge of the paranormal nationwide has led her to organizing paranormal conferences. She has also started the company Beyond Reality Events with Haas and Wilson. More recently, Bruni has been using her connections in the field to conduct important research on the nature of group dynamics in the paranormal, and she's begun lecturing on ghosts and the supernatural. And while we are waiting to hear from Amy, and let me just check real quick here, make sure there's nothing I'm supposed to know about any delays, and I do not see anything, so I will simply carry on here as we were doing. And as I said, we'll be hearing from Teresa very shortly as she returns from her maternal duties. I've been told several times now, I've neglected to remind you all about our various social networking accounts, and we are America's Most Haunted on Facebook, and Teresa kind of runs that. She's doing a great job with that. We're also on Twitter at AMHaunted, and basically I run that account. Makes it easier to sort of split things up. And we do also have a website where we are will be actually posting a lot more than we are currently, because it's still in kind of initial rudimentary bloggy form. But that's at americas-most-haunted.com. And eventually, hopefully in the near future, when we have the site fully developed in all of its various sections and subsections, it should look very much like the Morton Report, which is what we are modeling it after. In fact, actually kind of cloning in terms of the structure and all. So it should look really snappy and be super cool. And we will be basically intending to cover the entire paranormal spectrum. So that will be super great and super fun. Meanwhile, gosh, the Twitter is going great. We're up to, I think, over 1,800 followers in a very short period of time, just a few weeks. So that's very encouraging, and we're on there very actively. Please feel free to follow us. As a matter of course, we basically will follow back unless, you know, there's really pretty extreme reasons not to, that being, you know, you're a Nazi pedophile or something like that. Other than that, we are happy to follow you back. So check us out there. And in the meantime, that's about where we are. We're waiting to hear from Amy. And as I say, I'm sure it's purely a function of her being caught up in the list of radio shows. I know she had a long extended one. She was mentioning that on her Twitter. There have been some technical issues in the past. I hope that is not the case. We did have one show where we were unable to take calls, so that was very unfortunate. I don't think that is the case, or I should say I have no reason to think that is the case. And I guess I will check to make sure that that is not the case, because we don't want to get stuck with that. But I am running through very quickly all the various sources here, and I'm not seeing anything. All right, I think we do now, in fact, have Amy on the line. Just in the nick of time when I've run out of things to say. Is Amy there?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm so delighted and thrilled because, you know, I can only blab so long. How are you? What a wonderful pleasure it is to speak with you once again. It's been a couple years. I had a really fun interview with you and Chris a couple years ago, and that still stays on the books as one of my all-time favorite interviews. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I know. Typically, when you get Chris and I together, all hell breaks loose. So
there was much giggling. There was giggling.
Yes, we.
Girlish laughter. Definitely. Even, I dare say, sniggering. I would go that far.
Yes, there's a lot of that when you get us two together. We're like sisters, so. I think that's one thing. We try so hard not to giggle a lot, but that's kind of how we communicate. We giggle at each other.
Well, I found it charming, I must say.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yes, I did. Wow, so this is very exciting as we head into, I got to get it right now, it's the mid-season premiere of Season 8, right? We don't want to mislabel the new set of shows here.
No, because technically it's season 8.5 because we're halfway through. You know, we shoot so many episodes. I think this season was 25 or 26 episodes.
Wow.
And so we have to take a break in between in order to kind of catch up. And so that's why we have that mid-season break like that. And so this is the second half, and we're still not done filming this half. I mean, I'm kind of out of commission as far as investigating goes right now, but I've been helping the team out from home and still doing research and giving them cases and stuff, so that's been helpful. But, so season 8.5, it's crazy. It's been a really long run.
And when did you start? I mean, I know it was about maybe, what, halfway? How many
seasons
have you been on now?
I've been on 4 seasons now. I feel like I started the season 3 or beginning of season 4, so right in there.
It was a meteoric rise, as I detailed in your bio that I read so well, I must admit.
It was not really what I expected, because I kind of, Jay and Grant kept asking me to come out and investigate, and I kept saying no because I had a, you know, very normal job. I worked as a project manager, and I was, you know, I had benefits and things. And so eventually, after the second or third time they asked me, they actually asked me out to some cases in California, which is where I used to live, and they kind of suckered me in after those 2 cases, and I never went home again after that.
Well, I'd say you have found your calling. You know, that's one thing I did not know. I'm very interested. What kind of project manager were you? I didn't realize you were like a real human being with a job like an American.
Yes. I worked in a cubicle every day. It was great. But I worked for a health insurance company back in the day. And that was one of a few jobs. I mean, I always worked in kind of an office environment, and you know, so I was ready to escape that, and Jay and Grant were determined to get me to New England somehow, and it still took them a while because I didn't actually move here until earlier gosh, when did I move here? I've been here at least eight or 9 months now, so.
But that is recent, considering how long you've been on the show and how long you've known me. You're from California, right?
Yes, yes. And I just, there was really no point in me having a house. I didn't, even when I lived in California, because we would literally be on the road 300 days a year with the show. And it's a lot of travel. And so for me, you know, there was really no point in having a house or anything. So when I got home, I would just go visit my sister or something like that, and when we had downtime. But now that I'm in New England, it's a lot easier because a lot of our cases are a lot closer to here. So it works out.
Excellent. And, of course, we did mention in passing Chris. I mean, I assumed it was the real thing, and you're certainly confirming that, how close you guys are. I would think you would miss her terribly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but she and I keep in touch. I mean, we talk, we text, we see each other, especially at events and things. And she switched coasts with me. As soon as I moved to New England, she goes and takes off for California.
Was that in conjunction with the move to GHI, or was that happening anyway?
No, she wanted to get out of New England. You know, she's been here her whole life, and she was tired of the winter. And, you know, she has a lot of friends in California, and so she was just ready to go. And so she moved to Los Angeles not long ago. And, you know, eventually I'll get out there and visit her, and she's been out here to see me. So we, you know, we definitely keep in touch.
Do you miss her on the show, though?
Yeah, I mean, she and I had a way of investigating together where we just really worked well together because we both were reasonably skeptical. She's very skeptical, so much so I had to go, come on now, Chris. and so we just, you know, we definitely
when the ghosts come up and bite you on the butt, it may mean something.
Exactly. So sometimes, and even things we experienced together were at the time she was so just excited about, you know, a few months goes by and she starts talking herself out of it and I have to, like, smack her and go, now, wait a minute. but yeah, so no, I definitely miss her. But, you know, Adam is amazing as well, and I love working with Adam. You know, he's been such a treat to have join the team. And so it's I'm really lucky in the people I've been paired up with since I've been on the show.
Yeah, I think that really comes through, too, that you and Adam are very close, and that feels very genuine. The common denominator seems to be you and how well you must be really easy to get along with. You must be nice and stuff.
I try to be nice, yes.
I think it really comes through that way. It really does. I think you come across as a extremely likable person. And you know, when you're doing quote unquote reality TV, I mean, that really counts for a lot. It seems like a lot of the stars of, you know, in the broadest sense, reality TV, are trying to kind of make their mark, their persona anyway, is kind of the opposite. You know, they're trying to be outrageous and everything, but you know, you seem so genuine and just a really nice, considerate, together person, and I. We salute you.
Oh, well, thank you. I know that really means a lot because I do try to just be myself. You know, it's hard, especially when you first start at it. You know, it's really hard to forget that there's cameras pointed at you all the time. And you know, once you reach that point, I think that's when your real self kind of starts to shine through. And we do get to the point where you just forget, especially since we're so comfortable with our crew. We're all really good friends and really close with all of them. So it's the same people all the time, and you forget that little lens is not just the camera guy. That little lens is, you know, 2 or 3 million people. But once you're able to forget that, you can just be yourself, and that's really what I try to do. So, yeah, and
It's a gift because a lot of people – you can kind of see the strain of them, trying to forget that the camera is there. You know, they're kind of faux natural, where you come across as truly natural. And by the way, we have been joined by Teresa, who was off doing, now get this, check out this transition. She had maternal duties.
Uh-huh.
Which brings up,
really?
I don't know, may bring up something. Teresa, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Yeah, Amy, this is what you're in store for here with your upcoming child. In a moment, my daughter will probably be walking through the door nice and loud. My dog will bark. My husband will come to the door to check on us. And my son will come downstairs looking for a snack, because that's what it's like when you're a haunted housewife. So we welcome you into the fold of motherhood. We're so excited because, you know what, you represent a whole group of people. Let's face it, there are a lot of women are into the paranormal. And finally, we have a representative. You are going to be our representative. I know it's a lot of pressure, but we're all very excited. And my other partner, my partner Kathy, was so excited, and she's got nanny duties. So Grandma can't make it with the interview tonight, too, but we're so happy to have you on, and we're so excited for you. And, you know, we're all, it's baby watch time.
Thank you. Thank you. I know, I think people expect me to be investigating with, you know, baby Bjorn or something, and have the baby with me all the time.
I bring my kid with me all the time to investigations.
Oh.
No problem. Yeah.
I'm sure eventually, I know I started really young, and so if she's into it, then of course she can come out with us. But it's going to be interesting juggling mommy duties and travel and my schedule. And so, you know, they're definitely, I've been so lucky in that our production team in LA and Jay in particular have been so great working with my schedule to ensure that I'm home as much as possible and I'm able to keep doing this. So at first I was like, well, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. There's no way that I'm going to be able to keep on the show. And, you know, which I kind of expected, you know, going into it when we decided to do this, I was like, well, the only downside is I might not be able to do the show anymore, but let's do this. And but no, they've been really great and cooperative and wonderful, and I'm so lucky.
So you'll still be on the show. We'll still be seeing Amy every week on Ghost Hunters, or at least as much as possible.
Exactly, yes. So I know that, you know, right now we're still wrapping up season 8, and so what comes next is season 9, obviously. And so it's, I know we're trying to work out, you know, what will change. I can't be on the road, obviously, like I have been. So it might be more of me from the home office, or, you know, me on local cases. But, I mean, I will still be there as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, that's great. It is tough. I mean, there's going to be times when you won't be able to leave. You won't want to leave. You'll miss the baby so much. But, you know, that's where you have to rely on friends and family. And I think that you're in a great situation. And God, we're so happy for you. I'm just so glad to see that you'll still be on, because there's just a lot of testosterone, and we need a little estrogen on that show. So.
Yes, definitely. I mean, they're all great guys, but that's just it. They're all guys.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're out there the last couple of cases. They're still shooting right now, doing a couple of cases without me, and so I can only imagine what it's like.
They're going to strip clubs every night, you know. They're chewing tobacco. They're running out onto football fields. All the usual man stuff.
Only there was time for all that nonsense. No time for any of it on the road.
I heard you say she. So do you know that you're having a girl?
Yes, we are having a little girl. We're very excited.
And when are you due?
Very soon. I'm actually 9 months now. I'm 36 weeks. So she'll be here in the next few weeks. and so we are going crazy, getting everything ready.
Any minute. You know what they don't tell you, though, Amy, which I found out, you know, after my third kid, is you're not really pregnant for 9 months. You're pregnant for 10 months. You have your baby at the end of your 9 month, because you think you're at the finish line,
so.
And then you're like, oh, no, I got more weeks.
No, and I tell people I'm 9 months, and they go, what? Oh, my gosh. I'm like, no, but I still have 3 or 4 more weeks.
Right.
So don't believe it. It's all a sham. You're pregnant for 10 months.
Has it been a healthy pregnancy? Have you had any issues, or everything's been good?
No, everything has been great. The beginning, I was very, very sick. I had terrible morning sickness, and I was on the road, and I couldn't tell the guys what was going on yet, you know, because I wanted to wait. And so I clued in Adam pretty early, and so he was kind of my conspirator and made sure I didn't, you know, pick up anything heavy. And, you know, when I was really, really sick, he would bring me, like, soup and stuff to my room, because I couldn't even leave the room. I lost almost 10 pounds that first 3 months there, I couldn't eat anything. Mm-hmm. But after that, it's been great, and I love it. I love being pregnant. It's been such an experience.
You know what I was going to say, because you do post quite a few pictures either on Facebook or Twitter, and you look really cute. I mean, you're the kind of the classic, radiant, cheerful, smiley pregnant woman. You don't look all bedraggled and like you're slogging through the fields, you know, and oh my God, I'm going to die. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, I've been really, really fortunate. I mean, I have been really lucky. I haven't tried to, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm a vegetarian, so I don't eat meat, so I'm thinking maybe that's why I didn't gain a whole lot, or I don't know what it is. It's just magic, because I definitely haven't been exercising like I should, and I've had my share of ice cream, so, but yeah.
Relating the pregnancy to the show, on I suppose semi-serious note, have you had any concerns about going into these, you know, from both the perspective of some of these kind of environmentally iffy situations that some of the investigations are in, or from the paranormal standpoint, have you had any concerns about investigating while carrying another person?
I did, and you know, it was I wasn't overly concerned, but I definitely wanted to do my homework first. It was one of those kind of better safe than sorry type of things. And you know, one of my best friends is a demonologist who actually works with the Catholic Church, and his name is Adam Bly. And I consulted with him very early on, just as kind of a precaution. I just asked him, you know, worst case scenario. What could happen here if we encountered something bad?
Omen,
you know?
omen.
And yeah, exactly. And so, but he was really, he's very upfront with me. And he said, you know, it's very rare. And he said, but, you know, there have been cases where, you know, something, you know, possessed an unborn child. And all of a sudden he said, I've seen it once and all the time I've been doing this. And it's, you know, somebody who just didn't take precautions and, you know, so I did change the way I did things a little bit just to be safe. Like I stopped doing, I wouldn't hold any of the equipment when I was doing EVP sessions. I just, and not that I believe that any of this could happen per se, but just I was definitely willing to take that extra step in case. So, you know, I didn't, when we were using the mini DV, I would set it down. I didn't have any equipment that was touching me at the same time, you know, so there was no way to kind of channel into me or whatever. So, excuse me, but so I did that, and then if I felt uneasy, I would just go to Jay and say, you know, I think I'm done here, and that really only happened once, and you'll see it. There was just one case in particular where I just didn't feel very comfortable because it was something that seemed kind of negative, and so just to be safe, I just sat out the rest of the night in the van. So that was that, and then there have been some instances of you know, where something was just an unsafe area where the guys were like, you're not going in there.
Do you take
from the environmental standpoint.
I'm sorry?
I was just making sure I understood you. You meant from the environmental standpoint.
Right, exactly. You know, there'd be some place that had like rickety stairs or too many stairs. They didn't want me climbing stairs or, you know, there was an instance where Jay and I were investigating together and this was so funny. We're investigating together. I can't say where, but these footsteps come running at us in the dark. We're standing on this kind of wooden plank thing. You know, did they just put wood down in this tunnel so you could get your footing better? And you could hear these footsteps come running toward us. And Jay just throws himself in front of me like he's going to stop this ghost from whatever.
Chivalry
so,
is not
so
dead.
Funny. No. Jay has been probably the most protective member of the team as far as safety and just even when he and I fly together sometimes, we fly out of Providence together, we'll be walking through the airport, and he'll literally walk with his hand in front of me like as though people are going to run into me. So it's I have a very protective group of brothers pretty much.
Well, it has to be a good feeling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is. I've known all of them for years, even before the show. So it's, you know, it's like working with your family at that point.
Anything else happen? That's great to hear. Thanks for sharing that about. I'm going to look for this episode you're talking about. Did anything else happen after he stood in harm's way to protect you from spectral attack?
I think that was really the main one that just kind of cracked me up. You know, I started laughing. You know, even though we had something very paranormal happening at the time, I couldn't stop laughing at him. But it was very sweet. And, you know, and he was always reminding me the whole time, if you're ever uncomfortable, you know, don't carry that. Don't do this. Don't do that, you know. And at the end of the night, they would force me to leave. They were like, you're not breaking down. You're going to sleep, you know, because it'd be 4 a.m. and I'd be trying to help them roll up cable and stuff and with my belly sticking out and everything. And they would just make me go back to the hotel and sleep.
Well, I can think of worse situations to be in. You know, that's another good sign of how well thought of you are and how much they care about you. So, you know, of course, the big news, which was repeated more than once, that
yes.
Grant was leaving the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was brought up, you know, every now and then. So what are the changes? Are you, you know, so far?
Well, it was tough. It was very tough for us all when he told us. When he told us he was, I mean, when you saw that on TV, that was us finding out for real. Like, that was, you know, 100%, like, they told us on camera. And so those reactions were all very genuine. And I'm sure you all saw the tears and how upset we were. And,
sure.
You know, Grant has been one of my mentors for years. And so he was always the one I went to if I had questions or I was concerned or just needed to talk about anything. And he still is. Luckily, I don't live far from him and his wife and family. And I was just there a couple weeks ago. But it was just the idea of being out there without him was like, oh my goodness. And it was even worse because I knew then that I was pregnant. I hadn't told them and I couldn't tell them. So I was like, oh my goodness, all this at once. But what changed with the team after that was, you know, after he left, it's just been kind of, we all just kind of stepped up our game. And you'll see it on the show. I mean, there's definitely growing pains because everybody's trying to figure out where they fit in and what they're supposed to be doing differently because we always are such a well-oiled machine. It was kind of like somebody just threw a big wrench in there and we just didn't know what to do at that point. And so the first few cases, we definitely... it took some getting used to, but I almost feel like it kind of, not that we don't miss Grant, because of course we miss Grant, but kind of reinvigorated us in a way. We're like, all right, we got to do this. We got to step up to the plate and we can make this happen. And I think you'll see that kind of renewed energy on the cases in the first few episodes.
How did you guys handle the pairing? Since it was always, you know, fairly predictable. I mean, sometimes you guys would mix it up, but you know, it was Jane Grant, you and Adam, Stephen Tango. Has that changed? Obviously, it's changed because Grant's
yeah,
not there.
Yeah, I mean,
but
it has. It has changed. You'll have to watch and see how it goes down. So,
I will watch. Can you tell us?
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I can't.
I assure you, I will be watching.
But, I mean, you can see on the previews, like, you see Steve and Jay investigating together. You see Jay and I investigating together. So we definitely kind of mix it up here and there. And so it's not so cookie cutter or cut and dry as it used to be. And I think, you know, we're more apt to kind of change things up now just because we kind of have an odd number of people and it's easier, so.
Well, that can certainly reinvigorate things, because the routine has been broken and because you're working with different people, and I would imagine there's some freshness to it. What do you think, Teresa? You've been oddly quiet.
Oh, I've been trying to chime in, but I guess I'm just not getting it out quick enough. So, I was going to ask, going back to what you were talking about, being pregnant and being on these locations, do you have any sort of protection that you do personally, whether it be some sort of religious thing or some sort of spiritual protection, or I don't know what your faith is and what your spiritual beliefs are, but do you take any kind of precautions besides just, oh, I'm pregnant and I got to watch out for this and taking care of your health? Is there anything you do before you go on a case, and has that changed now that you are pregnant?
No, actually, there's never been anything that I've done, and I didn't start when I became pregnant either, just because it's actually something Grant taught me a long time ago, was that the second, and this is not for everyone, I know some people like to pray before they go in. I know Steve said he always says a little prayer in his head before he goes in. But for me, and you know, like I said, something Grant said, is that when you have something, like some people want to bring in a medal or they want to pray beforehand, if you don't have that with you, you forget it, then suddenly you feel weaker. And that can make you almost more vulnerable. Or if you forget to say your prayer before you go in, again, you might freak out if you're at all reliant on that. And again, you feel weaker. And then something like a medal or, you know, any type of object is something that can be taken away from you. And so that, again, leaves you weak. So I just go in very confident, knowing that nothing can harm me. And I tell them they're not allowed to harm me. They're not allowed to touch me. And they don't, you know. So normally I don't care, but since I've been pregnant, I go in, and especially if it's a place where there are claims of things touching people, I will tell it right off the bat, you're not allowed to touch me. And they haven't, not once, so.
That's really interesting. I've been in this field quite a while, and I've heard all sorts of different rhymes and reasons and why people do things. And, you know, hey, whatever works for you, whatever works for anybody is great. I think if it works, keep on doing it. But my methods and my methodology has changed drastically, probably over the last even maybe 2 or 3 years, as opposed to how I used to investigate and things I used to believe. I feel that I'm evolving as an investigator, as a researcher, and the things I do are evolving. But I think it's great that people do different things.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Hunters has kind of become the... In a lot of circles, it's kind of like the end-all, be-all, since it was kind of the first. A lot of people hold it, that's the way to do it, and they only do things that way. And I think that they're missing out on a lot of opportunities if they don't try things their own way. And if it works for them, that's great, because obviously it's working for you guys. But
right.
Different people, different methodologies, and I think it's great. I just, you know, as long as you feel comfortable, and I think that's a good thing. What we do... the Haunted Housewives,
yeah.
we like to bring a person with us who's really scared all the time, because it usually likes to stir things up, and
right.
They seem to attract spirits. I know that's kind of mean, but we warn them ahead of time, so it's okay.
Well, no, I absolutely agree with you. Like, I would hope that teams would not just take everything we do and just assume that is the way to do it all the time, because to be honest, you know, there's a lot of things that we experiment with and that we're curious about, but we do take the fact that we are shown on television very seriously. So there, you know, people always ask us, why don't you use this on the show? Why don't you use that on the show? And it's because we're not 100% what it's able to do or what it's representing, you know. We're not sure it's represented well enough to, you know, show everybody. You know what I mean? So we just take it very seriously that we're on TV. So when we're not on camera, we're trying all kinds of crazy stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely think outside the box and stuff. But when it's one of our cases that's being filmed, we're very aware of that, and we just want to make sure that anything we are shown using or methods that we're shown using, we're very confident in them before we show it to, you know, millions of people. So that's why I always encourage teams, because they're always asking us, you know, why don't you use psychics, and why don't you, you know, use the ghost box, or why don't you use this? And I tell them, I go, go for it, try it, always try it, and if it works, great. You know, I have many friends who I consider psychic, you know. Chip Coffey's one of my best friends in the world, and I investigate with him all the time, but he's on a different network, so he can't come out with us. So, you know, I'm always open to all that stuff, and that's why I love doing those events where I get to go out and meet people, because that's where I get to really play with different devices and stuff that are out there.
That's great. It, you know, it's kind of, it's a good thing, but it's kind of a sad thing, too, that the fans of Ghost Hunters are so diehard, some of them, that it's almost like a religion to them, and so therefore anything that Paranormal State does or Ghost Adventures is wrong or bad, and I just think that's a shame. And again, like I said, I was have evolved over the years. I have learned that I don't know anything. I've learned that we're just guessing. We're doing our best effort. We're seeing what works, and we're going with what happens. And if it works and it feels good, then we do it. And so that's all you can do. And I applaud fans for being loyal, but, you know, sometimes they get a little overzealous.
Oh,
and I'm sure you've had some
can.
Of that.
Well, there's two questions that were just brought up. One's more of a statement. Amy, you know, in a sense, then, the fact that you do tell the spirits, and is that out loud or is that just internally in your mind?
Oh, no, I tell them out loud not to touch me.
So that is a form of preparation, you know. I mean, that is something
I mean, I don't do it all the time, and I've only started doing it since I went in pregnant, and it was really only in instances where it's been reported that people got touched. And again, it's the same kind of thing where I don't hold the equipment while we're doing EVP sessions. You know, I don't want anything, and this is not necessarily my belief system at all, but it is what, you know, my friend Adam Bly had told me. And so for me, it's just an extra precaution just in case. And believe me, I forgot a few times, but just in case. I just didn't want to give them any sort of kind of pass to whatever could happen in that instance. So I just tried to separate myself from it as much as possible.
And then did you guys use anything new, or do you have any different techniques that we'll be seeing this half season?
Yeah, I mean, we have brought out a lot of different equipment. You know, we've been using trigger objects, and we have this thing we've been calling a trigger object proximity sensor, which basically if something does come in contact or some sort of energy does touch a trigger object we're using, it will sound an alarm and a light will go off. And, you know, if you've been out in the field, you've probably seen this, but that's been something we've been playing with a lot. Of course, we have our full spectrum cameras, but we've been trying to become a lot more mobile. You know, so we've been using our phones to watch the DVR system while we're on the case. So if we're in a building and we hear a sound, we can just bring up, we have an app on our phones that we can bring up and kind of tap into the DVR system and go, hey, you know, we heard this sound on the fourth floor. Let's check that camera. Nobody's there. Let's get up there. You know, that kind of thing. So we've been trying to get a lot more technical, I guess is what you could say, just trying to be more in tune with our equipment and be able to use it right then and there.
Very cool. That sounds like a really useful app to be able to monitor that from wherever you go.
Yeah, it's great, you know, because there's been times where, you know, many times when you're investigating, you'll hear some sort of loud crash, you'll hear voices or footsteps from somewhere, and if I can use my phone and look and go, oh, okay, Steve and Dave are passing through that hallway, or, you know, okay, there's nobody up there, let's get up there right now, as opposed to running, you know, up three to stairs to look for yourself, and you get up there and you're like, oh, there's Steve and Dave. So,
you're not
running
much anymore right now, are you?
Oh, God, no, I'm waddling. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, the waddle. I miss the waddle. I'm so jealous, Amy. I'm not having any more babies. I've had my three. I'm done. But sometimes I wish I could, and I'm still years away from grandchildren, I hope. But, you know, the time goes by so fast. And I think that, I don't know, my theory as a mother and as an investigator is that after your beautiful daughter is born, I think you might amp up the precautions even more than you think you will, especially with the first child. You become so annoyingly overprotective almost, like to a fault. But it's just a part of motherhood, and it's a great thing. And, God, you're so lucky to have a family that you investigate with and a network that is supporting you, and I'm sure a regular biological family around you as well that will allow you to keep doing this. It's amazing because, like I said, we certainly need you in the field. We need some women representatives for sure.
I don't know what I would do without the field. Like now it's what I do and I love it. And so I can't imagine not doing it. I mean, I've been doing it pretty much my whole life. So, I mean, I put off the motherhood thing for just about as long as I could. So You know, one day you wake up and you're like, whoa, biological clock is almost out. we should do this. And so
I had a baby at 41, Amy. I had a baby at 41. So
yes,
don't think that you're
that's
safe.
That's going to be me, maybe. We have another one.
I had one at 45. Oh, wait, I didn't have him.
No, see? No, I know. So I waited. I'm glad I did. I feel like I have this whole new chapter. I definitely can relate to what you're saying. I'm already super protective of even myself. Just I notice I'm driving a lot slower and, you know, just weird little things. I'm just so paranoid. I don't want anything to go wrong. And so it's definitely a whole new way of thinking about things. You don't realize you will be that way until you're actually there.
You know, I was going through your pictures on Facebook, not in a stalking way, in a researching way, and
yes.
You have these pictures, and I was trying to find a way where I could post your pictures and my pictures, like, side by side, because they were so funny. There's pictures of you at, a gun range shooting, and
yes.
I have almost identical pictures from when I was visiting some family in Alabama this summer of me almost in the exact same poses with the same guns and everything. It was very funny. I felt very connected to you for a second. But I had an experience where, and I'm sure you've had this over and over, I had a stalker, somebody who found me, I'm assuming on Facebook, or maybe had seen me on one of the TV things that I did or something, and showed up at my house.
Oh,
and
my goodness, even after... That's what those gun range pictures are good for. It's like, don't show up at my house.
I was going to say, I reposted them very quickly.
Don't mess
I changed
with Annie
my profile
Oakley.
Picture. I posted, over and over again. I kept, you know, my husband is a police officer. And but it was really scary. I mean, this person came to my house, had a person in his car, gave a name that doesn't exist as far as we can tell, says I invited him to my house, and I gave him my address, which, you know, obviously, I would never do, but it was kind of scary, and I'm a nobody. I mean, it was really kind of scary, and I can only imagine what you guys have to go through sometimes.
Because you're a somebody.
We're actually, my boyfriend and I are very private people, and so, you know, we don't talk about where we live or, you know, any of that. So I've been pretty lucky. I did have to report someone just a few weeks ago, just some woman online just sending me awful, awful things. And so I finally had to go to our local police department and file a report on her because, you know, you just never know.
What is wrong with people?
Yeah, she was saying terrible, terrible, awful things, and it was not. It was about me and my baby, which I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. So that's where I drew the line, and I was like, all right, I'm reporting you. So
yeah.
It does happen, and luckily, and you know what I find is, you know, not that I mean we're like Z-list, bottom of the barrel type celebrities, but we have. We don't have, you know, we're just, it's not like we were millionaires or anything. We don't have the resources to have any type of security. So when we're doing like these events and stuff, we're just out there, you know, and so we have to, we sometimes forget that be accessible, especially with, you know, Comic-Con type events and everything. And sometimes we do have people that come up to us and just are really, really strange. And so I've definitely rethought that a little bit lately.
You're telling me fans of paranormal investigation television, some of them are strange?
Mm-hmm. I know. It's hard to believe, but yeah.
Amy, I got to say, the fact that you've been on the air now, and certainly that is not a Z-list show. You're at least a Y.
You are an A-list celebrity.
So, no, anyway, I'm sorry, I'm just joking. Anyway, the fact that with that level of exposure, you know, sci-fi is pretty prominent. The fact that and you've been on, you know, 4 years now or so, and that this was the first time you actually had to report someone, I think that really is a reflection back to what we were talking about, that you're of your persona and the fact that you really are sweet and genuine, and you come across that way. I think certainly were you of a different kind of personality, you probably would have had to deal with that more.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I definitely try to I mean, maybe it's, I'm probably too boring for people to stalk. So, I mean, I definitely have had a few strange ones, but that last one was just a little too much for me. But yeah, over the years, I've been pretty fortunate, and you know, more than anything, it's just people who don't know boundaries. They don't mean any harm. They just don't get boundaries at all. So that's, and I can usually tell those ones pretty clearly. So, but yeah.
Well, it is hard for some people to tell the difference between a person and a persona. And even though that's you, and that really is you, and as you said, you guys, you know, kind of a strength, I think, is the fact that you are able to forget that the camera's there and that you are able to basically be yourselves. But nonetheless, you're not sitting there inside that person's television, right? You know, so people do forget that. Even now, when you would assume that everyone's pretty sophisticated about media and that they understand that person inside the TV is elsewhere at the time and has a whole other life and so on and so forth, and that is in some respects a persona rather than a person. But, you know, a certain percentage have a hard time, you know, coming to terms with that, I'm sure, especially when you get some really zealous fans. Since I'd been off Twitter for a while, and I started up when we started the America's Most Haunted Project, so I've been on, you know, maybe a couple months again now, and I really forgot kind of how vehement, shall we say, you know, some of these fans are. I mean, their whole lives revolve around some of these shows, including yours.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, and they think that our lives are like that. You know, I think they forget that, you know, many of us have been doing this for so long that we know everybody on these other paranormal shows, and there's no drama between us. So they pick teams, like they think they're picking a team or something, and they get behind you and rally behind you. You just want to tell them, you know, it's okay to watch them all. It's all right. It's okay. I mean,
I picture these scenes out of West Side Story, you know, where you got knives, but you're dancing and singing as you duke it out.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, everybody does things differently. It's just like in the real world of the paranormal, you know, all teams do things differently. So explore it and see what works for you. And, you know, it's the same way with paranormal television. I mean, there were a couple shows for a while where I was kind of like, I really can't get behind that. But, you know, but like what's out now and stuff, I know all those people. They're all friends of mine. So.
Well, you have more in common with those people than really anyone else, you know? I mean, if you think about it.
Right, and it's true. And so you know, when we do get together, usually at events and things, you know, we talk shop for a little bit, and then we're like, all right, we can talk about other stuff now.
You know, we were talking to Brian Cano last week, who's just a great guy, and we brought up the same subject, talking about the different shows and the fans and how they like this show, they don't like this show, they can only support this one, and as someone down in the trenches, just working in the regular world, not in the reality TV world, I told him, and you might have noticed this too, there is no paranormal unity, which is this word they've been throwing around, which just makes me giggle, in the real world. Everyone is so territorial. Everyone thinks that their way is the only way to do it. And it's really sad. And it seems like, at least from my perspective, that the people who actually work in television and on these reality shows and these established groups, and they get along so much better than the people down in the trenches. Kathy and I have gone to conventions to talk, and I thought we were going to get, like, booed off the stage and egged because we do things differently than these other teams. And, you know, and I got a mouth on me, and I just come out and say it, and I don't sugarcoat it, and Kathy doesn't care, so she's, like, right there with me. And I thought we were going to get, you know, we're like, there's no such thing as paranormal unity, and we don't care about evidence because that's not what it's about to us. And they were looking at us like, what? And I'm like, yeah, and, you know, we'll use psychics and we'll use dowsing rods, and people were like, I'm like, they're gonna kill us, Kathy. They're gonna boo us off the stage. And they were all talking about paranormal unity. But then we had this one guy who said he was a bishop of the Roman Catholic Church, but he wasn't. It's like the old Roman Catholic Church. But he said he was an exorcist, and he was literally yelling at us from the audience. That's a cult. You're supporting the occult. I was like, oh my God, this is a 6-hour drive from our house. We got to get out of here.
Wow. Yeah. No. See, that's really tough for me because before I joined the show, I was doing this big research study of paranormal groups, and what I did is I surveyed hundreds of paranormal teams, and I just asked them about their methodologies and the way they did things, and you know, and the inner workings of the team. And I started lecturing on this because I wanted people to see what other teams were doing, and I was curious to see what other teams were doing. And I was, many of the results were pretty predictable to me, and so I use that to kind of try to get out there and educate groups on, you know, unity is silly, but just educate them on how to work with each other and how their motivation wasn't always, it wasn't there, and necessarily their heart wasn't really in the right place all the time, and not in a bad way, they just didn't really know. And so now I lecture on, to me, what this is hugely important is the history of, you know, paranormal investigation and ghost hunting and spiritualism in America, and because I find it's really hard. It's very, and like I can get a little punchy sometimes, even though I come off really nice. And it's very disheartening to me when I ask people who are in teams just basic questions, you know, about the history of paranormal investigation, and they don't even know where it started. They don't even know where it came from. They don't know anything beyond 2004 when Ghost Hunters came out and since. And I ask them what books they've read, and they haven't read any, and it infuriates me. Mm-hmm. So that's why I started lecturing on that, is to kind of, I want people to have the backstory more and know where this came from, because it didn't start with us. Oh, God, no. We're, you know, it didn't even start in the 80s with In Search Of and Leonard Nimoy, you know. So it's something that's been going on for quite a while. So I definitely feel your pain, and I get it. And so I think that's important to kind of go beyond the TV part and see what these real teams are doing out there. And I always encourage them to work with other teams, cross-train, you know, especially if there's other teams in your area. Go out and investigate with them. See what they're doing differently. If you don't like it, don't use it. But at least you learned something and you tried something, and vice versa. You know, maybe you found something you love. So that's what I always recommend. But
that's awesome to hear, you know, that you're into the history and the history of the investigating. I've been researching this since I was a child, and obviously I'm old, but I was reading books. That's what people ask me, what piece of equipment should I buy? What's the most important piece of equipment? What should I get? And I tell them to go get a library card, because that's what they need to do. They need to research. But I was reading books when I was probably 8 or 9 years old by Dr. Nandar Fodor, and people are like, who? And I'm like, that's the kind of books I read, because that's all there was out there. There wasn't that much out there, a few from England. Yeah. And, you know, and now there's more books and there's more access. Yeah, but, you know.
There's a lot of Hans Holzer books. Yeah.
Well, Hans Holzer,
I was reading
course,
the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is the first recorded reference to a ghost in recorded history. How about that? Did you know that?
Well, it's you. I think you're trying to one-up us right now.
No, I'm trying to one-under you.
I'm kidding.
No, as Teresa knows, I do not pretend that I am approaching this from anything but a dilettante standpoint. I'm an observer. I am a journalist. I am a third party. And that's what's really fun for me, is that I don't have any particular stake, you see. So I do get to observe, and I certainly come to conclusions, and I'm not shy about expressing those, but I don't have any particular stake. I don't have any particular favorite way of doing investigations, because I've been on one, and it was with Teresa. And it was very interesting, and we had fun. It was cool. But, you know, I watch all the shows. I read a lot. So, I you know, I know who Madame Blavatsky is. Am I saying that right? She was a famous medium in the 19th century. Anyway, you know, I do know some of that. I'm approaching it from more of a research standpoint. And while for a lot of people that could possibly undermine my credibility, I think it puts me in an excellent position, because I'm free to observe and kind of pick and choose, you know, without having my feet in any particular camp.
Right, right, exactly. And no, and I think you're going about it the right way. And, you know, I just like to encourage people to, you know, think outside the box, you know, make yourself uncomfortable, do something that you don't think you're going to like. And who knows, maybe you will. And, you know, maybe you'll adopt it after that. So it's just, I mean, other than things that are dangerous, obviously.
Golly, Amy, we really appreciate the time. All of a sudden, we only have 6 minutes, and I know you're kind of on a succession of radio interviews. We really appreciate how much time you've taken. I did want to be sure to mention, I know you have a company with Jason and Grant called Beyond Reality Events. You want to tell us a little bit about that? I think that's super cool.
Yeah.
You've branched out.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's something I actually started with them before I started with the show. But it just really is the opportunity to kind of use that interest that people have in the TV show, you know, kind of get them in there to come meet us and Jay and Grant and whoever we have at these events, and then make them learn stuff. So we have these weekend conventions and everything, and they're a lot of fun. It's beyondrealityevents.com. And, you know, you can come to some of these really haunted locations, and we lecture all day. Like, I give my lecture. Britt Griffith goes, and he does, like, a paranormal 101 kind of thing. And we bring in, like, my friend Adam, the demonologist, and just so people can learn things from all different perspectives. And then that night we get to go out and go on a real investigation. And, you know, so for novices, they can kind of apply what they've just learned. And then we have a lot of what we call repeat offenders, people who come again and again from teams and stuff who, you know, bring all their cool equipment and gadgetry. And so it's they're always a lot of fun. They're more like a vacation than anything else, like a paranormal geek fest.
Do you have one coming up, or is that on hold due to your condition?
Yeah, my condition. Yeah, we won't have any until 2013, obviously, but we just had one in July at Eastern State Penitentiary. We have one coming up in April, but it's always good to plan these things ahead of time anyway. So we have one coming up in April at the Stanley Hotel, which is one of our favorites, and we're doing Eastern State again next July. And then Britt and I have been working on a couple other ones coming up too, so we'll probably have a few more announced in the next few weeks.
Excellent. Well, we will look for that.
Yeah.
And you said that'll be on your site, the beyondreality.com?
Yeah, beyondrealityevents.com.
Right. Hey, can you toss out in our last minute or two, can you give us a little sneak peek of something to look for, one more thing maybe to look for in this coming season that starts tomorrow night, September 5th, 9 o'clock Eastern and Pacific, 8 Central.
Yes. You know, tomorrow night's episode actually is pretty huge in that one of our crew members kind of unwittingly becomes part of our investigation. She basically gets attacked. So you guys, it's never happened to that extent on the show. I mean, it's definitely happened while we've been out investigating off the show. But it was a really wild case. So I encourage people to watch tomorrow night. It's probably one of the best cases I've been on in a while.
Super cool. Anything else, Teresa? Any quick questions?
I know. I just want to thank you for coming on and being with us. I know you're busy. And just throwing it out there, it would be a great, great episode if you happen to go into labor during one of the filmings of the show. I mean, you would have a lot of people turning in for that. No, I just want to thank you for coming out.
I think they're hoping for it.
You know what? I bet they will. Just think of the ratings.
Spin-off.
Yeah.
Right.
Take care of yourself and be safe and have a happy, healthy baby, and come back on with us again after you have some time with the baby's born, when you're sitting at home. Well, we'd love to have you back on, and we'd love to talk about the Stanley, because that is another thing that we cover in our book, America's Most Haunted. We have a whole chapter on the Stanley Hotel as well. So we'd love to talk to you about that.
Yeah, for sure.
All of that and more to you, Amy. So great to talk to you again, and really, really hope everything just goes as smoothly as possible. And really appreciate the time. And you're one of the good guys, man.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate it. You guys are super sweet, so I appreciate it.
All right. Well, we'll be watching. We'll be watching every Tuesday, or excuse me, Wednesday. I'm looking at what today is. We will watch your progress, and we will certainly keep an eye on the social media for when things happen in the real world.
Yes, definitely. All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye,
Amy. Take care.
Bye.
So, Teresa, I have cleverly allowed us a minute or two. So why don't we inform our listeners of, you know, the important stuff?
Well, the important stuff is that we are here, America's Most Haunted, on Blog Talk Radio, usually on Tuesdays at 10, but we will accommodate for special guests like Amy. And we will have our forthcoming book, America's Most Haunted, covering the most haunted sites in the United States. And the Stanley, I already gave it away, is one. So check out our website. Follow us on Twitter, AM Haunted, and on Facebook for all updates for anything and everything America's Most Haunted.
What is the actual address on Facebook? I always get confused when I'm not looking at it.
It's www.facebook.com/AM Haunted.
That's what I keep thinking. But they can find it. Just
yeah.
Go to Facebook. America's Most Haunted. Mm-hmm. All right, great. Well, great show, and way to slide in there, you know, after you're doing your maternal duties, and nice segue into the questioning as a result. So, yeah, this was great. Really, really fun to talk to Amy, and, boy, we have some exciting shows coming up, too. I guess I can tell you now, we will, in a couple weeks, we will be speaking with Ghost Adventures, Nick Groff, about the show, of course, but also his new book that's coming out. Do we have anyone scheduled yet for next week, or are we still working on putting that together?
Still working on it. We're trying to get Stephen LaChance back in there because of the technical difficulties we had with Blog Talk that night. But he's not confirmed
yet. That would be great. That would be great. But, of course, regardless, whoever our guest is, he or she will be wondrous, and so will the show. All right, well, have a great week, everybody. Thanks, Teresa. We'll all talk soon.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.